It has been said that these are the times that try men and women's souls. Candy G is a person who has decided, as a single mom, as an entrepreneur, top performer, high achiever in her industry, a person who is living a life of adventure, to share with audiences around the world her experiences, things that she's learned, the ups, the downs, and how to begin to reinvent yourself, reclaim your life, and begin to live from a place of power. Join us right now as we take time to probe her thinking and her mind to get into who she truly is and the message that she brings to the planet. Hello, this is Les Brown, and I'm talking today with Candy G. Hello, Candy. How are you?
Hi, Les. How are you today?
I'm doing better than good. Candy, you know, you put together a program that's designed to help people to make a difference in their lives, to teach them how to play this game called life. But before we get into that, I want to talk about you. How did you become interested in providing tools and a message for people that will allow them to become the power force in their own lives?
Les, I think, just like yourself, mm-hmm. I have a story. I had a childhood that was very nomadic and chaotic. I really didn't have a home base. And I left home before the age of 18 and found myself in the big bad world, learning how to do things the hard way. Mm-hmm. And I decided shortly thereafter that there had to be a way. There had to be a reason that we were all here. And I started on the proverbial why. Mm-hmm. And I started looking and learning and reading and studying everybody. And over the past 25, close to 30 years, I have been on my own personal path of study, and I have read and studied everybody from alternate religions, mainstream religions, effectiveness gurus, motivational speakers, mm-hmm. everything possible, trying to understand the whys and the how of life. And I found myself on a spiritual path and started to learn a lot. I found that through the things that I was studying and learning, there were certain threads of truth mm-hmm. that ran through a lot of everything. And I found that there were certain things that I would do and I would kind of utilize. And I found myself in a situation where I was getting divorced, had a 10-month-old baby, and found myself at ground zero again. Mm-hmm. Everything had gone. Mm. And it was at that time, you know, mm-hmm. and I've heard you say many times, when you fall down on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. And I looked up and I knew it was my time to show up for my own life. And I took all of these things that I had learned and I put them into action. I didn't say, oh, poor me. Mm-hmm. And I moved ahead using what I call universal life laws or secrets of life. And I used these to build my life mm-hmm. 11 years later and say, yay, just look at me now. Mm-hmm. I'm in the top 4% in my industry. I make a lot of money. I have a sales organization. I have my own seminar company. It's called Alive and Well. Mm-hmm. I am an author and a trainer and a speaker. I've been interviewed by Time Magazine for my accomplishments. Mm-hmm. I've appeared on Peter Jennings' World News Tonight.
Yes.
I've flown engine and engineless airplanes. I've learned how to create my dreams.
Mm. Okay, so this thing that you're talking about, the game of life and how to play it, you've been playing it, so it's coming out of your own personal experience. I heard
Absolutely.
A quote once that said that religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell, but people who are spiritual or people who have been there. You went through your old living hell that brought you to a point to confront yourself to say, hey, I've got to do something here, that you took some hits by life, and it helped you to take all of the stuff that you've been exposed to put together a strategy that allowed you to reinvent yourself. You know, Willie Jolly has a saying, a setback is a setup for a comeback. So I want to know how you, as the comeback kid, and how people can begin to profit from and leverage the knowledge and information from the game. First of all, how did you come up with the title?
Actually, tell you the truth, I had found along the way, people would come to me and they would say, I love your take on life. Tell me what to do about this. Mm-hmm. And I found myself in a situation where I was, just by the order of how things have come together, I was coaching people. Mm-hmm. And one day I had somebody who called me from another city, really called and said, I need to know what to do, because I talk about action plans all the time.
Yes.
And I said, hold on a second. And I got into my quiet place, because I am a meditator. I do meditate.
Yes,
I get
I
into
do
my
as
own
well.
silence.
Mm-hmm.
And I get into that connected place of life. Mm-hmm. And I can be awake and close closed my eyes and I said, all right, I need some answers here. What is the best thing for me to tell her? And I will tell you that the game's title came together while I was on the phone with her. So I really consider it a gift from my universe. And that's how games came together. And it's a nice, neat format. If you do your G, your A, your M, your E, your S every day, life is just going to work in a way that you want it to.
Let me ask you this. Some people are going through some tough times right now, and many times when you've lost your job unexpectedly, or you go through a very painful divorce, or you experience some type of tragedy of losing someone you love and care about, and you're staggering, and many times you can't think clearly. You've got bills and pressures looking at you every day. Sometimes it might be a physical illness in my particular case. What's the first thing that you would tell a person that they must do to begin to get themselves up off the canvas of life?
I would tell them to find something to be grateful for.
Gratitude. Is that right?
Gratitude is not a reactionary emotion. It is a causative energy. And when you are in gratitude, you create fertile ground to start to create the things that you want in your life.
So you're saying in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the storm, that's a time to look around in your life and find something to be grateful for. What are some of the blessings that I've taken for granted that I've overlooked?
That's right.
And what does that do? How is there a benefit in that?
How that works is there are a couple of ways that we create things in life. One of the things that people, I think that we should be taught early on, I think that we need to teach our children, is that our thoughts are very creative. Thoughts are things. What you think is what you get. Listen to Napoleon Hill. He wrote a book, Think and Grow Rich. The title alone speaks for itself. Earl Nightingale built, he spent 20 years, and he uncovered these 12 words that he built his entire empire on. Those 12 words are, human thought has a tendency to transform itself into its material equivalent. So I would say, what are you thinking? Now, I'll get back to what we're talking about, gratitude here, but a lot of it has to do with how we feel, how we think and how we feel. Exactly, what are you thinking? Because what you think, you're going to create in your life. If you're grateful for the things that you have, you're going to create that positive flow. You're going to get into that positive creative energy to start feeling good and thinking right so that you can start having the things that you want, to start thinking right.
Okay, so you're talking about taking control of your mind, because most people are not aware of the fact that they are the thinker who's thinking the thoughts.
Right. Most of the time people think they're thinking, but most of the time they're being thought.
Repeat that again now.
Most of the time people think that,
that they are thinking,
but truly, most of the time they are being thought.
What do you mean by they are being thought?
They are being thought. We have on an average of somewhere to 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day. 80 to 90% of those we had yesterday. And that most of the, a lot of the times the thought processes that we have come from something that's called scripting. We have a lot of tapes and things that run through our lives and run through our mind.
That's been given to us by life.
Been given to us by life. Parents, teachers, peers, the books that we read, the music that we listen to, which I would love to see young people in our culture hear that message. The television that we watch, the movies that we see, all help create a lot of tapes that run. We don't a lot of us don't consciously have our own thought process. And when we can understand the key to having a conscious thought process, then we can use the tool of creative thought to consciously create what we want. Gratitude plays in there in a big way, because if we are grateful for things, we are in a positive place about things. We are thinking positive things. We're creating positive things. What a lot of people don't realize is whether you're conscious of it or not, you're creating anyway.
Okay, and that's perhaps if what you're producing in life is some of the thoughts that you are manifesting that has been given to you, it reminds me of the spiritual principle that says, be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what you're talking about, this age-old principle of renewing one's mind, consciously thinking about what it is that you're thinking and putting in place a kind of thinking of gratitude that can create some momentum to move you forward in life.
Correct.
Yes. What's the next step?
A lot of people might say, well, that's really great, but how do I change my mind? Mm-hmm. And one of the things, and a lot of people say, I don't even know what I'm thinking or what is it that I want. Mm-hmm. And what I've put together in the GAMES course mm-hmm. is a whole strategy where I take people through a series of exercises to help them uncover what they're thinking. Mm. Because a lot of people don't even realize what they're thinking mm-hmm. and help to uncover the things that are maneuvering them through their lives. It's something that's called Big Voice, Little Voice.
Okay. Tell us about Big Voice, Little Voice.
Big Voice, Little Voice. Is it at any given time, we'll have two voices going on. We have a big voice that's constantly telling us what to do, mm-hmm. and then we'll have a smaller voice behind. Mm-hmm. And there's ways that you can stop and listen and hear the voice that's underneath. For example, you might say, you might have an idea of something that you want to do, mm-hmm. and you'll say, oh, I'm going to go out and do this today, mm-hmm. maybe even exercising. I'm going to go to the gym today, and you'll have that voice behind going, oh, I don't really want to. I'm too tired. I'll talk myself out of it.
Now, is that voice the little voice or the big voice?
The big voice, for most people, mm-hmm. is the voice of negativity that keeps mm-hmm. people from doing the things that they want to do.
Mm. And that's what the voice that they listen to and are obedient
most of the time.
To.
Right.
And they allow that voice to stop them and to control them.
Correct. Correct. And there's usually a little voice underneath going, but I really want to.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like to go out and do this. And then the big voice will go, yeah, but you can't really because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the ways, you know, and people will say, well, how do I uncover big voice, little voice? One of the things that you can do it mm-hmm. is to just merely pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. Stop and pay attention to what your own thought processes are. And a lot of people don't take the time to do that. I love to share a story. All you have to do is pay attention to something to start to shift it. Become mm-hmm. aware of it.
Yes.
Raise your awareness to it. We have the story that I would like to share is that we have a lake house where we like to spend a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back of the lake house, there's these wonderful, beautiful oak trees with this wonderful Spanish moss that I always thought was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out that the moss is actually a parasite
mm.
and will kill the trees.
Mm.
And so we had somebody go in and clean all of the moss out from the trees. And the trees are clear and beautiful. And with the trees all open, the grass is greener and the leaves are greener on the trees.
Yes.
The reason that I mention this story is that my tree awareness has been raised. I can't go down a street anymore without noticing Spanish moss and trees
That's right.
that need to be cleaned. So when I tell people to pay attention to their own thoughts, I ask them to go in and look at the moss that's growing in their own mind and see what they can go in and remove to start creating fertile ground.
And also sometimes moss can be thrown on you. I was the other day I went and went through a series of medical checkups, and so I told the doctor before I left, I said, listen, I need to have the information about my PSA, which means prostate specific androgen. As you know, I'm a mm-hmm. prostate cancer conqueror. And I'm leaving town, so I won't be able to come in. So give your staff authorization to give me the information. She said, okay. I was going home, called the office for the information. I said, Mr. Brown, I'm sorry, we cannot give you the information over the phone. The doctor said, you have got to come in because of the serious magnitude of the information. She's got to talk to you face to face. Well, my big voice said, oh, my God, your PSA must be 200. 1 to 4 is normal. The little voice said, you're going to be all right. But I couldn't hear that little voice. That voice was drowned out. The big voice said, no, don't listen to that fool. You're not going to be all right. You probably need to start checking on and getting your situation in order, check on your insurance, make funeral arrangements, because your PSA is probably 200 or 2,000. Mm-hmm. You're about to get out of here, buddy. Okay, so I'm going there, and the other little voice saying, you're going to be all right. Okay. So when I came in, and she shared with me the information, hey, your PSA is 8. I said, ma'am. I said, a year ago, it was 15.5. I said, I can handle this. I can get it lower. And so the little voice said, I told you you're going to be all right. Then the big voice got quiet. But before then, I was at the effect of the big voice. And so I now, as you talk about that, I can see how that big voice was governing me. And for a moment there, I was terrorized. I was terrified because of it.
What a great example. And the magic in understanding big voice, little voice is if you start to pay more attention to your little voice, the little voice will start to grow.
Yes.
And it will become bigger.
Okay.
And as your little voice starts to grow and starts to encourage you, your bigger voice starts to shrink. And it doesn't mean that that big voice will completely go away. It'll rear its head from time to time. But if you just pay attention and focus on that that's positive in your own life, you can start creating your own motivator.
Okay, now, aside from being consciously conscious of the little voice, what are some of the things we can do to strengthen, to amplify that little voice?
Okay, well, that's a great question. And one of the things that I do within my course is I teach a process called reclamation. And reclamation goes farther than goal setting, goes farther than just writing your affirmations. It's taking the time to figure out exactly who you are, what you want, and then you seriously define it, and then you put the your reclamation into statements. There is a formula for a reclamation statement. It is a positive, present-day ownership statement that has an emotional charge to it.
Now give us an example, please.
I am a very successful writer and public speaker. See, that means something to me. That has a huge emotional charge for me.
Yes.
Because that's what I am and that's what I do. And I have, and what I do with everyone I take through the course, is we work on creating reclamation statements for everyone that they can own. If it doesn't have the emotional charge to it, it's not yours. You're not really owning it. You, somebody can't use something that I want to build or do and try to claim it as their own. But as we go through the series of steps and start to uncover what somebody doesn't really want, take out the moss, all right, start to build what they do want, put it into a formula that now this formula works within universal life laws. It's positive. It's creative. It's present day. It has a feeling to it because your feelings, like your thoughts, are also creative. So you want to have the positive emotion behind it.
Okay, now I'm not trying to have the whole seminar within the context of this interview. But let's look at some of the other things that, that you discover going through this workshop that you provide that creates momentum in removing the moss from your life. What's the next step? One is gratitude. One is becoming aware of the little voice and the big voice and the things you can do to strengthen that little voice. What's the next step in beginning to get your life back on track that you suggest for people in this workshop?
I think that somebody has to have the personal commitment to want to take the time to uncover who they really are. One of my own personal quotes is that the richness of a person's life is in direct proportion to their willingness to be in their own discovery.
You know, that is so real. A friend of mine said, named Lorraine Brown, that most people won't participate in their own rescue, that most people won't become an active participant in changing their lives. Why is it that most people won't do that?
I believe that we're taught that there's one set of rules to follow and that here's the guidelines for how life is supposed to be.
Even though it's not working.
Even though it's not working.
We're still loyal to it.
Right. And I think all we need to do is go reteach that. You can have whatever you want. You can create your own culture. You can write your own script. I advocate wildly outrageous goals, as outrageous as you can get them.
Yes.
Because what a lot of people do when thinking about their dreams, I believe that they don't aim too high and miss. I believe they aim too low and hit.
Wow. That's awesome. They aim too low and hit. I'm going to use that. I'll give you credit the first three times. And so I tell you, when you think about that alone, that so many people are aiming too low and they're hitting it. They get out of college and go out. They just want a job. not a life of adventure, not a life of contribution, not making some impact or some major discovery or looking for ways to live an extraordinary life. They just want to get by working on jobs where they pay them just enough to keep them from quitting, and they work just hard enough to keep from getting fired. They made a hit.
That's right.
The target, a lifestyle of mediocrity. How do we lift up from that?
Well, Rumi, who is a 13th century poet and scholar, he says that we look outside for trinkets when the real treasure's in here. So, I'm going to say what we need to do is we need to direct ourselves inward, and we need to stop and take the time, commit ourselves to ourselves, to take the time with us to figure out who we want, who we are, and start to put that into action. Every one of us has a special place here.
Yes.
We all have a special place, and I think we need to learn to get committed to allowing that special place to show up.
So you're saying put yourself on your to-do list.
Put yourself on your to-do list. That's right.
Take the time to go a year apart, rest a while, to take personal examination, to get centered, to look at who you really are and who you're being up to this point. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, when you look at that, what role does relationships play in that? Positively or negatively, and you're being able to get to who you really truly are.
I think relationships play a lot, and I think one of the things that we all need to learn is we all need to learn the value of our relationships. It's been said that we are the sum total of the five people that we spend the most time with, so we need to look around and see who we are spending our time with. And
why do they say that?
What happens is that, let's go back to the theory of thoughts are creative.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are with a certain type of people and in a certain type of conversation all the time, and if they're not motivating and if they're not forward thinking, if they're not about making their life better, there's a good chance that you're going to hang out where they are. Water rises to its own level.
Yes.
I'm going to quote one of my favorite speakers. And that'd be you, that says OQP, only quality people.
Yes.
And I have learned the hard way in my life that relationships can be toxic and that you need to learn which ones serve you and which ones don't. Mm-hmm. It gets back to that own personal self-discovery and then move towards those that serve you.
You know, George Frazier said that your network determines your net worth. Let's look in the professional area. We know that negative relationships on the personal level can most certainly have a devastating impact on you. How did that affect you when you were looking at performing well and becoming a high achiever in the real estate industry and becoming a member of the top 4%? How important were your relationships and your moving up the ladder?
I think it was really huge, because what happened is if I would be in a situation with somebody who didn't have the same big ideas as I did, and what would happen, for the sake of harmony, I would lower myself down to where they were and keep myself from moving forward. I would maybe not go out and risk a little more where I might have tried. Mm-hmm. I maybe not would have taken an idea that I had until I learned that I needed to remove the relationships that didn't serve me, find people that were like-minded. I believe that in relationships, just like you need to have your own personal reclamation statements, I believe in relationships you need to have the same thing. You need to have like-minded goals so that you can create together. You can create a bigger unified vision, a team together. Each achieves more.
You know, you bring up a very important point that sometimes there are many people in personal relationships, in marriages, as well in their business relationships, who have big dreams, big ideas, want to do a lot of things, but sometimes they turn down their power to accommodate the people around them who are not growing at the same level or who don't have the same vision, because they don't want to deal with the pain of separation or the disruption that that kind of energy can create in the relationship. How do you deal with that?
My personal philosophy is feel the fear and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do want to move out ahead, there is going to be a risk and there is going to be a chance of disruption.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that in order to have the things that you want in your life, you just have to jump off the cliff and grow your wings on the way down. That was another Les Brown quote.
Okay, so there is a price to be paid.
There certainly can be. I don't think there always has to be if you have somebody like-minded, but I certainly think there can be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you need to have the willingness. Another thing that I teach in my course, when I have people set goals, I have them use a template called OWL.
Mm-hmm.
OWL is a formula for inner wisdom. And with OWL, when you're taking a look at your goals, the O stands for obedience. Mm-hmm. To how true to yourself are you being?
Mm.
All right. The W stands for willingness. What are you willing to do to create what you want to create in your life? And the L stands for listen. Listen to your own heart. What is your own truth? Mm-hmm. And take that template and put it on top of every goal. And if it doesn't work through the OWL formula, wrong goal.
Mm. Obedience.
Willingness.
And listen. Mm. When people go through that, what are some of the breakthroughs they've had and some of the things they've come back and said, let me tell you, Candy, this is what happened for me.
I'll tell you what's very interesting is I've seen people go out and do things that their little voice said I already always wanted to do, and they never had the courage to do. For example, I had one wonderful person that I worked with who wanted to teach a course that was a little kind of different. She wanted really to be able to go out and teach this course, and she really felt that there was nobody that was really going to listen to her, and she had everything talking her out of doing this, and she went through the course, and we went through the whole process, and she had a lot of breakthroughs of the value that she found within her own goals, and that's a lot of what OWL brought to her. And what's amazing is I will open up certain publications, and I'll see her highlighted out there with her courses, and I just smile and say, you know, thank you for having the willingness to do what it took to go out and create.
And was obedient and listened to herself and followed that voice. I want to segue into another area and get back to the game, but how do we communicate that to our children? I was talking to a lady the other day who was a high achiever, and she's just so heartbroken because her oldest son just has ruined his life and has not embraced and not used example and the mentoring and the coaching that she has provided for him. How do we communicate that to our children? Because I've met your daughter, and she is so sweet, and she really is this little message right now growing up. She's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the universe. Tell me, how is it that you've been able to, as a busy woman, as an entrepreneur, as a single mom, doing all the things that you're doing, as a top achiever in your industry, a member of the top 4% of top producers, how is it that you've been able to still have enough balance and time to set aside to impact your daughter?
Well, I appreciate you asking me that, because Katie truly is, she is just the greatest part of my life. Mm-hmm. And at almost 11 years now, she's done some great things, but
I call her the cookie queen.
That's right.
She makes me some delicious cookie.
From the time, because I have been studying this for so long, I have understood what the thought process meant. Mm-hmm. So I have been very careful about the thoughts I have put in her own little head. When it comes to scripting, I wanted her to be scripted with things that would serve her.
Okay, now define scripting.
Scripting is the thoughts, the ideas, the tapes that run our lives. Mm-hmm. And those usually come from our parents, our peers, our teachers, people that talk to us and at us all the time. For instance, I believe you were scripted that you were educably mentally retarded.
Yes.
Is that not? Until someone taught you how to undo that scripting.
Right. Absolutely.
And so,
up until that time, I was living out that script. I was the star, the producer, and the director of the script that had been given to me.
Right. So from the time Katie took her first breath, I was very careful about the things that I said around her and to her. And I'll tell you a great story. When she was 7 years old, she came to me and she said, Mommy, I have a goal. I want to dance on stage at Jackie Gleason Theater. Mm. And I looked at her and I said, excuse me? Because I wasn't a dancer. Mm-hmm. There was no dancing going on in the house. I bought us a horse. Okay? And, she said, Mommy, I want to dance on stage at Jackie Gleason Theater. And to do that, I need to join this ballet company.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, all right. And I took her and we auditioned and she had joined. And 7 months later, I watched my then 7-year-old dance on stage in front of a sold-out crowd of 800.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a parent, it was amazing to watch her set a goal and achieve it.
Yes.
But the truly amazing part was, after that was done, she said to me, she said, you know what, Mommy? You can do anything you want to do in this life. All you have to do is think about it and do it.
Wow. 7 years old. What is it, if parents are listening, what's the coaching process to help get kids there, cultivating a sense of purpose and direction early on in their lives?
I think
monitoring how much television time they spend watching and listening to radios. Do you do that as well as looking at their friends and who they associate with?
I think that as early as you can, teach them the value of their own thoughts and get them to understand how truly we don't teach anyone how creative our thoughts are and what our thought process is. Mm-hmm. Earl Nightingale, it took him 20 years to mm-hmm. discover that human thought has a tendency to transform itself into its material equivalent. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, that's such valuable information. We need to be teaching that to our children when they're younger so that they can make their own decisions about the value of what they're putting in their own minds.
Yes, Earl said also that we become what we think about. And that's so key. So helping people to begin to know the value of depositing that kind of information in our kids, also taking the whole mindset is not what we leave for our kids, what we leave in them that really counts, and being aware of their thinking and the thoughts and how that affects their lives. As you look at the game and how you've been using it as an instrument, this seminar, to help people to look at themselves and to transform their lives, what's the next key step in the game that you share with them to apply to achieve the things they want to achieve?
Going through the process of uncovering what doesn't work for them.
Mm.
And then
facing that.
Facing that, and then starting to build what they want through reclamation statements. What I have every person in the class do, and I sit with them while they do this, is I have them put their reclamation statements on an audio tape. Mm-hmm. Because when you hear something in your own voice, it bypasses the conscious mind, goes directly to the subconscious mind. And I then have everyone play the tape first thing in the morning when they get up. It's their own personal motivator.
Mm. Where they're reclaiming their power in their lives. And being consciously engaged in a process to move them in the direction of where they want to go.
Right.
How much of a problem the ego has in admitting that you've been wrong, that what you've been doing does not work? Is ego a major factor here?
I think that by the time somebody comes to the place where they want to do real work on themselves, mm-hmm. that the ego has kind of stepped aside.
Okay. Because that, if it really was in fact in control, they couldn't even come.
Correct.
It would
That's
prevent
right.
them from coming.
That's right.
Okay. So, and you talked about the value of having real big goals. And how? Why does that benefit you? What about losing and disappointment and setbacks? You're going to have those just showing up in life. How do you handle the pain when life catches you on the blind side? What are the things you tell people to reach for that can help them move through those types of experiences?
I'm going to go right back to gratitude. When you can learn how to be truly grateful, you can mm-hmm. understand that those are just stepping stones to what you truly want.
It
goes with the territory. I'll tell a story. There's a story of a missionary in Africa mm-hmm. that found a tribe that was mysteriously poor when all of the other tribes around were very prosperous. Mm-hmm. So he decided to spend time with this tribe to try to understand why they didn't have the things that they want while these other tribes were all prospering. And he found that in their tribal language, after spending a lot of time with them, that they had no word to express gratitude.
Mm.
And so maybe sometimes we don't have the things in our lives because we haven't really understood the real spirit of gratitude and the spirit of thanksgiving.
What about the mindset of I'm going to make it happen no matter what? Determination, drive, perseverance. Is that a key factor in achieving your goals in the game of life?
I think that that's very much a key factor. But what happens is one of the secrets to creating the things we want is sustained imagination, constantly focused on our goals.
Mm-hmm.
So you may say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, but you might have that day where you go, I'm tired of being my own hero.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I believe the magic of this audio tape comes in, because what happens is if you can spend the time with you to build this roadmap to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I call games a pathway to personal action. If you can build this pathway to what you want, and you can take and put this on a tape and pop it in and listen to it every morning, what happens is you stay motivated and you keep the drive and you keep that determination even when you don't have it.
Mm. When it's all said and done, what is it that Candy G would like her legacy to be?
I make a promise every day. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Katie and I make this promise together. My legacy, I'll get back to the promise, but my legacy is I would truly love to be able to help people uncover who they are, mm-hmm. and discover the real magic of life. One of the things I ask people often is how often do they know what rapture is, and how often do they experience it?
Mm.
Okay, rapture is the state of being carried away with love, joy, and ecstasy,
mm-hmm.
and that is our birthright. We're entitled,
yes.
And I would love to be able to teach people to find their rapture and to find their personal truth. And every day I make a promise. Katie and I make it together on the way to the car, and it says, "I promise to drink every dawn like a cup of spring water.
Mm.
I promise to take in every sunset like supper. I promise to make today my best day ever, to not take one breath for granted. Mm. I promise to dance every dance like nobody's watching. I promise to love like I'll never get hurt. And I promise to play until I can't play anymore."
That is powerful and beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.